freedom, they gradually became a place of legalism, religious suppression. And in this letter, Paul addresses the dynamics of our liberty in Christ. Freedom from the law, freedom from the power of sin, but not just freedom from, but freedom into. Freedom into the opportunity to serve. See, one of the things that was going on there is that many of the Jewish converts were insisting that the Gentile believers had to submit to the Jewish traditions and laws. That the religious requirements must be upheld. And many turned extremist in their views. Judaizers. You read about those in the scriptures. Those are extremists that are saying the Gentiles who do not know our God, that knew many other gods, must come and understand the Jewish ways and follow the Jewish traditions to understand our God. Paul had to confront this harsh reality many times over. Legalism and suppression many times over. And Paul's calling everyone back to the purity of the gospel, the simplicity of the good news. Salvation is found in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. Not in keeping religious traditions. The good news is for all people everywhere. See, God had torn the veil. He had opened up the Holy of Holies, and all may come in. See, our freedom is found in Jesus. Our freedom is found in Jesus. Are you free? Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
We cannot and we dare not add to it the word of God or take from it. Lest we begin to move into this way of understanding and way of believing that Jesus wasn't enough. That what he did was somehow insufficient. That somehow you have to tack on some things. Jesus, all sufficient. For all people. Paul visited this church in Galatia on every one of his missionary journeys through that region. Always preaching that our freedom in Christ. Always preaching about our freedom in Christ. And that freedom is meant that we might serve one another. That we might love one another. That we might carry each other's burdens and help each other along the way. Our freedom is not to constrict others in their freedom, but to encourage them and to encourage them in the freedom that they hold. The freedoms that you hold, that they too might experience this wonderful blessing that comes from God. So listen now, understanding some of the conflict that kind of happens in the church and is happening within that church, we each need to come to some reflection about ourselves and about the views that we hold. What is the authentic word of God? What is tradition? What is man-made restrictions that you're imposing on other people or that the church is imposing on other people? What requirement is God looking from you? And what is your freedom for? See, our passage is relatively strong, kind of even along the same lines of what we were preaching about or speaking about last week, the deeds of the flesh versus the deeds of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the same kind of flowing through here in Galatians, convictions versus condemnations. Listen, my father served 20 years as an Air Force pilot. Remember him well. I still got all his stuff and still got some of his medals and stuff. And on my dresser, I see him and think of him all the time. One of the great lessons my dad taught me was this right here. It's your next slide. He taught me freedom with responsibility. Freedom with responsibility. This is kind of what we need to adapt and adopt. The attitude will guide you. Understanding this will guide you in your future endeavors and even understanding God a little bit more. You can enjoy all the freedoms you got. So be the words from my father. You can enjoy all the freedoms you got. Just meet your responsibilities. You meet your responsibilities. You got all this freedom. You don't meet your responsibilities. you're going to lose some of your freedoms. Pretty good lesson. Pretty good lesson. Also from last week is kind of like responsibilities. Last week was obligation. We have no obligation to the flesh. Do we have a responsibility to the Holy Spirit of God? And just what are you responsible for? What are you obligated to? Keeping all the religious laws? Is that what you're responsible for? Is that what you're obligated to? Circumcision before you can ever do conversion. Is that what you're obligated to? Keeping all the festivals in the religious manner in which they've been. The Nazarite vow, you must grow your hair long and abstain from alcohol. What are these? What responsibility? So I kind of want you to think more in terms of what are you responsible for in terms of things like grace, mercy, compassion, bringing forgiveness into your world and into your house. Kind of like the scripture we read, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And think that these things are your responsibility. Kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, against such things, the scripture says, there is no law. What are you obligated to? What's your responsibility to those things? To walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit of God. Not rules and regulations mandated by a religious authority. Rather, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you. Do you see the difference? Can you see the subtlety? This is our responsibility. This is our obligation. Hold to your responsibility, or you probably lose the freedom. Paul uses this contrast between the flesh and the Holy Spirit here, and we can clearly see the differences, right? Corruptions and merits. And he's not ashamed. He calls them out. He's specific. He's calling them out by name, right? Immorality, debauchery, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, fits of rage, envy, the strong and the wrong desires of the flesh versus that of the Holy Spirit of God. What are you responsible for? What are you obligated to? It's not that none of us ever, you know, been there before and envy and idolatry and debauchery and murmur. It's not that any of us have never been there before. The difference is we don't live there. It's not that the idea that we might even stumble into it. The idea is that we don't live there. That's not where we spend 90% of our time. We might stumble in 10% of our time, but we're living 90% of our time in the ways and the actions of the Holy Spirit of God. And all we're trying to do with most people is get them in a transition where most of their lives probably living of the flesh and of the world. 90% of the time, we're trying to get them to live a little bit more in the Holy Spirit. And listen now, as we proceed, I'm going to settle on a place that we can all kind of, that we all kind of want to live in the ways of God. We kind of want to do that. Anybody want to walk in the ways of the Lord? Give me an I'm free. And how do we do this? How do we win this battle? Because it's a constant battle. How do we cultivate a life of freedom with responsibility? We have to learn how do we learn to spend less time in the flesh and more time in the Spirit? More time walking in the Holy Spirit of God instead of responding all the time to my feelings and my emotions and not going anywhere but where the flesh desires for me to go. Listen, not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is producing good fruit. You hear me, right? You know this, right? I'm not throwing out a bombshell like, oh, all Christians are so wonderful. No, because the world will tell you how awful Christians are. So we know that there's a lot of Christians that are not producing good fruit. And maybe it's the production line of the good fruit is limited, right? They're not walking 90% of the time. There's only a little bit of good fruit that they got. See, now producing good fruit is possible in every Holy Spirit-filled believer's life. End of statement, period. It is possible. And I've hope that you've learned by now that there's nothing that's robotic. in the Spirit's ministry as long as we're in this flesh. There's a constant conflict. It's a constant fight, right? And you're many of us pushing the needle to the red. We certainly know this even from our own lives. Oftentimes we know what we ought to do but fail to do it. Every believer that is baptized by the Holy Spirit of God is baptized in the body of Christ, and every believer has the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. But you wouldn't know it by the way some people live, right? We know that. Or how they act, or how they treat others, or how they even treat other believers in the church. If we're to develop the fruit of the Spirit, we must learn to walk in the Holy Spirit of God moment by moment by moment, to submit to God and crucify the flesh day by day, moment by moment. We have to walk in the Holy Spirit and exhibit the fruit that is of the Spirit, not the evil impulses of the flesh. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not an optional extra. An optional extra for the believer. Like, do I choose today to practice patience? No, you're supposed to be patient. Oh, is today the day I'm supposed to practice gentleness? Well, yeah, every day. Is this situation the situation I'm supposed to show some kindness? Well, yeah, the Holy Spirit will. Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't choose anger and fits of rage and idolatry. That's the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is in residence within you. Now, how do we ensure that this Holy Spirit of God that is within us is growing? How do we exercise our freedom with responsibility towards this Holy Spirit of God that is within us? Our obligation. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Those that belong to Jesus Christ, anybody in here? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We crucify the flesh. We surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. I surrender all. I love to sing it, right? I surrender. What have you surrendered? Exactly what are you surrendering? Can you tell me what you've crucified in your life with all the freedoms that you've been given? In order to do this, we're going to need to, here's your first one here, we're going to have to prepare the soil. Oh, it's already up there. You're going to have to prepare the soil. How can we crucify this flesh? How do we do that? Because it's not something just that's done to us in the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's something we must do. This is our freedom. You would like to say, this is our free will, baby. My free will. Yeah, you got the freedom to choose. You got free will to choose. God has made you such a unique creation that he doesn't robotically implant things in you that you just do things. You have a free will, baby, to choose. You have all the freedom. Everything is permissible. Not everything's beneficial. Freedom to choose, see. And this is the apex of who you are, is a wonderful creation. Choose this day whom you will serve. Walk in his ways or walk in the ways of the world. You're freedom, baby. I'm free. Yes, you are. And I can see your freedom being exercised every day by the anger that's in your life, by the fits of rage that you have, by the idolatry that you have. I see all the freedoms that you exercise, and then you call yourself walking in the Holy Spirit of God. Choose this day whom you will serve. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his country, than his family. No greater love than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. What have you crucified if you call Jesus your friend? What's your cause that you're picking up? What cause are you willing to lay out your life for? Your freedom in Christ is not to indulge the flesh. I have forgiveness so I can just keep on sinning even more and more and more. Should I continue to sin so that grace may increase in my life? I get grace because I've got all this sin, so I just keep on sinning so I get more grace. By no means. That's not the freedom that you've been given. And listen, the scriptures are pretty clear. Those that live like this do not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't yell at the messenger. Those that live like this, choose to live like this, take their freedom and their free will and choose to ignore and run from God. So it's a deliberate, preparing the soil is deliberate on our part. Pulling out the weeds. It's a deliberate pulling out the weeds. When I was a younger man, I had to come to grips with a lot of the things I was doing and the directions that I was heading. If I did not change course, I would either be in prison or I would be dead. I had to change course. I had to change attitude. I had to change environments. I had a lot of bad weeds. I needed to pull some weeds out of my life. I needed to take the shovel and start digging and start throwing them in the compost heap. This don't belong in my life. I don't want this in my soul anymore. And the Holy Spirit of God was convicting me, not my flesh. My flesh just wanted me to keep going down that road. The Holy Spirit of God was bringing this wonderful thing called conviction in my life about, is this the way you want to go? Is this the direction you want to go in your life? This is how you follow God. You need to root that out. Dig it out. Burn it. I was convinced, man, by the Holy Spirit of God, who I believed was leading me and teaching me and guiding me. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it was a deep, dark pit, not a light. God was showing me something, and I had to turn. And one of the simplest things that I did, simplest things, probably one of the hardest. I challenge you to do it. I think you should do it. I spent time, when I came to some realizations about what was going on and who was around me and all stuff, I spent time listening. Just listen. I just stopped. Took a breather. And spent some time listening to the people that were around me. And I was amazed at how many people spoke negativity into my life. Over and over and over again. All the dark stuff. You know these kind of people, right? Every time someone says something good, they got to say something bad. It's like the Debbie Downer kind of thing. They always have a negative comment. You know somebody, people like that? If you don't know anybody like that, it might be you. Hey, I bought a big, beautiful red car. Well, red cars get the most tickets, you know. Hey, I'm going to Aruba on vacation. Oh, it's so hot right now, and all the bugs are down there. Oh, gosh. Thank you, right? And it's just dark. Everything's the negative side. Everything's the dark side of things, right? They promote fear, not only in themselves. They want to promote it in you as well. And they love to, they're suspicious of everyone. They're suspicious of everything. They're always kind of a depressing. They never have a good day. Every day is bad. They never have a good day. Every day is terrible. Rarely does gentleness and kindness come out of their mouths. They're quick to anger, always self-centered. Always about money, money motivated. Listen, I just spent time listening, and still do, by the way, to those that are around me. And it was telling me a lot about myself and the things that I was adapting and adopting, right? And preparing the soil. I was preparing the soil. Spent time listening. And there were some things that were taking root in my brain and in my life that were not leading to good places. There were people that were choking me out, stomping on my heart. They were warping me and poisoning me. People were dark, negative. They didn't really care about me much, really. I began to realize they cared about my drugs. They cared about the car that I could have. They cared about the crib they could hang out in. They didn't care about me. I just listened to what was around me. Who influences the soil of your heart? And who are you listening to? How are you preparing that soil? See, I had to make changes. I had to pull out those weeds. And listen, I had to let some people go for my own health, for my health, my spiritual health, my physical health. I had to assume all the word. I had to assume the responsibility of what entered my mental cavity. I had to assume the responsibility of what entered this brain. I had freedom. I had all the freedom I could choose, but I had a freedom with a responsibility. I had the freedom to watch whatever I wanted to, look at anything I wanted to look at, but I had a responsibility. How was it preparing my soil? How was it infecting me, affecting me? And here's the thing about fruit. Here's your next one. Fruit is always visible. It's always visible. People see it, whether it's dark or whether it's bright, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Fruit's always seen. It's always on display. Kindness, gentleness, patience, it's always on display. Some people have some bad fruit, and you can see some bad fruit. We know when it's bad fruit, kind of rotten sometimes. Evil, envy, jealousy, rage. There's a whole list of stuff. Listen, I had to pull out some weeds in my life. Maybe you might have to as well. People, places, and things that were causing me to rot on the vine were choking out all the good fruit that I had the potential to produce. I had to put some wrong behaviors out of my life. I had to put some of that rotten and incorrect thought processes aside. I had to uproot my attitudes that had been embedded in my life a long time. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he's going to have to deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. I had to crucify myself. I know what I crucified and why I crucified. I still do. Anybody else? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And then you say, I'm free. See, you're free to change. You're free to adapt. You're free to adopt. You're free to move ahead. You're free to do all these great and wonderful things of God. You're also free to go straight to the pit of hell. You have to understand what you're crucifying and why. We are to nail the desires of this and the passions of the flesh to the cross and leave them there, not to pick them back up again. We're to turn from our sins and willingly nail our sinful nature to the cross. Christians have been set free, free from sin's power over them. They no longer have to give in to it. They have no obligation to it. You have a responsibility to walk in your freedom. You have a responsibility to walk in your freedom, American, and you enjoy it. If you've been crucified with Christ, you should be able to say, I know what I crucified. I know what I left behind. I know what I put on the cross. I know what I dug up and rooted out. Consistently working toward pulling weeds and making changes and adjusting attitudes. Listen, not to the other person, to you. James, you talking to me, brother? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Slide everything in your life changes. Here's your next one. As soon as you do. Everything in your life changes as soon as you do. Wear that one for a little bit. This is why people don't come to me for counseling anymore. They walk into my office and say, you know, I got a problem with Shirley. I got a problem with Shirley. And I go, yeah, you got a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem. We're going to have to get you figuring out how to do that. When we nailed the old nature to the cross, we began the process of the gradual but certain death of our old nature. Accepting Christ, the death of you. Accepting Christ, the death of you. It's the death of your old ways. Death of your old thought processes. A new life has been born. A new creation is being formed within you. The adventure begins. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. So here's your next one. You're going to have to sow the seed. You're going to have to sow some seed. You have to prepare the soil. If you want good fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have to sow the seed. When we place our faith in Jesus, he comes to live within us. He works to transform us, replacing our old selfishness with Christ's likeness, replacing the greed with generosity, stopping the stealing with integrity, stopping the complaining with thanksgiving, stopping the worry and trusting in Christ. Stop trying to control everything and walk in the flow of the Holy Spirit of God, who's sovereign and at work in you, who's always at work around you, in you and around you, working to channel our thoughts from evil intent to holiness. Gradually, our words lose the negativity, and we speak encouragement into people's lives and to others. We come to this realization that we are who God says we are. We are who God says we are. You are who God says you are. And you receive it, you believe it, and you walk in it, or you're still thinking about it. We find more and more of our lives lived in the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus kind of said it this way: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and also I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy, Jesus said, may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command from Jesus is this: love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. See, here's your next slide. Fruit always bears the nature of the branch upon which it is a part of. There's bear fruit. Did you like that? Bear fruit. Fruit always bears the nature of the branch it is a part of. We know this. You don't get grapefruit from an apple tree. You don't get pear from an orange tree. The fruit always bears the nature and the characteristics of the tree that it is a part of. That's why I had to dig up some things by the roots. I was grafted into some things that weren't so good. How about you? We know this. We get this. So now it's like, what are you clinging to now? What are you grafted into now? Your character is being revealed. Your fruit is showing. Some of you got some low-hanging fruit and not much. We should walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit in order to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. So what are you feeding yourself, right? What are you feeding yourself? A good dose of nutrients that can boost up the productivity in your life? Just as an apple tree would require healthy soil and the right supplements and careful pruning, a mixture of rain and sunshine in order to bear good fruit, the same is true of our lives. We require good nourishment. We require good food in our brains and in our minds and in our bellies. But feeding our own souls. What are you feeding your soul? Prayer, Bible study, fellowship, worship, sermons, serving others? Man, there's a whole good list of things that you could be feeding yourself. We require careful pruning by God through his word. Conviction's not a bad word. Conviction's correcting. Conviction's enlightening. Conviction is the only comes to you through the Holy Spirit of God. We require those times of trial and blessing in order that the fruit of the Spirit may be displayed for the glory and honor of God, who wants to bear fruit within you that others might see and partake of. God is interested in every part of your lives, every time and all the time. Healthy fruit trees produce healthy fruit. Healthy fruit trees produce healthy fruit. So, are you preparing the soils of your heart? Are you sowing the proper seeds? giving yourself the proper nutrients. See, you can't sow anger and expect back some joy. You can't sow hatred and expect back some love and kindness. You can't sow darkness, negativity, and expect to see any light. You reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Do not be deceived. Please do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't trick God. You can't work an end around God. You can't trick him in those ways. He cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. You will reap it. You will reap something. Whoever sows to please the Holy Spirit, from that same Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those that belong to the family of believers. If you can't exercise some forgiveness and some grace and compassion with your brothers and sisters in Christ, I know you can't do it in the world. This is a welcome to the practice field, right? This is the place where it happens. This is a place that's different than out there. What makes us any different than out there? The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us and shines up brightly within us. Now listen. All this work that God's doing in you, tearing up weeds and sowing out, crucifying things, all this and testing our actions and so that we become aware of what the fruit looks like in our lives, all this fruit for you and you alone, for your selfish gain, so you can have a bigger boat and a bigger house, so you get to take more vacations, God does all this for you and for you alone? No way, baby. No way. God's doing something in you because he wants to do something through you. God's whole plan and whole mantra is that he's going to work in God's people to show the world how good God is. How good is your God? Go tell somebody. If you're living in the darkness and you're inches from the pit, God will rescue you and call you back and bring you home. Challenge you and change you and transform you into producing good fruit, not just for you, so that someone else might take a bite. Here's your next one. You're accountable to others. I think it might be your last one. Accountable to others. Bring it home. Bring it home, Pastor. Bring it home. Fruit does not exist for itself. There's my selfish fish, my selfish taking a selfie. My selfish fish. Yeah. Okay. My attempts at trying to be humorous. Fruit does not exist for itself. No Christian should ever think they exist strictly for themselves. See, you cannot thrive independently. That's not God's plan for you. You cannot thrive independently from church. You cannot thrive independently from the fellowship. You cannot thrive independently from the Word of God. God did all this to you because he wants to do something through you. Take this as a mature Christian. If you are such, that you can begin to realize that your own life is not about you. Amen. See, the fruit of an apple tree is not an apple. The fruit of an apple tree is another apple tree. The fruit itself is seed bearing. Do you understand? The fruit itself is seed-bearing. The fruit itself, seed-bearing. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God that should be manifested within your life, shining so brightly and so good, it's seed-bearing. We say these things too, like, well, you know, you don't have to, well, you planted a seed. You planted a seed, you planted a seed, you planted a seed. Well, how did you do that? By the works of the Holy Spirit of God. You planted a seed. This is a display of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit is the catalyst for growth in another place. The seed is a catalyst for growth in another place. See, do you even picture that your patience is a seed into someone else's life? Do you even begin to recognize that when you're gentle in the midst of hostility, you're planting the seed in someone else's life? Though they may not even recognize it. But do you? Do you recognize the value of the display of the Holy Spirit of God? Because it's a seed-bearing fruit. It's not just about you producing an apple. It's about the seeds that are being planted because you've grown an apple that others can partake of. You exhibit godly characteristics not to serve as an exhibition into someone else, but to plant seeds that may grow. Right? Did you ever? Did you ever just get someone to yawn and it won't be long? Somebody else will be yawning. Won't, right? How about give a smile? Maybe somebody else will grab a smile. Right? Give some hope. Maybe somebody else will grab some hope. Give some grace. Give some patience. Give some kindness. Give some gentleness. Plant some seeds. The world needs it. I know, listen, in many ways, I know they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. And then you give them mercy and grace and compassion and gentleness anyway. You can't help yourself. You're rooted in a vine that produces good things within you. And so you give good things to it. Unproductive, unrealization, unworld that could care less. But you do. You do. Why? You can't help yourself. That's who you are. And you're planting seeds in the world. And listen, I know they don't deserve it, but you do it anyway. And listen, and in that moment, even right now, exercising patience. Am I right? Even right now. Even in, they don't deserve it. Watch. In those moments, you're as probably close to Christ as you've ever been. What good is it that you love those that love you? The pagans do that. You understand? God produces something within you. So much. If you get out of the flesh wants to chop their heads off. Flesh wants to, right, do all this. If you walk in the Spirit of God, man, you're planting seeds, the heavenlies, planting seeds of hope in people's lives. Being a part of a team like that is good for the soul.
Yes, it is.
With God's help and support, we can develop godly character. Prepare your soil, plant some good seeds, produce a good crop. Listen, for God's glory. And by the way, you are free to do so. You are free to do so. Somebody say, I'm free. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day, this place, this moment. I thank that your Holy Spirit of God dwells in this place. And Father, I would pray that as we look into your word, that it is nourishment to our souls. And Father, that we produce good fruit for you, for the glory of your Son. And Father, I pray you bind us all together as believers in Christ, that we might honor you and serve you. And Father, that we might plant seeds all over the place by our display, your display, the Holy Spirit of God. We're so grateful, Father, for this moment and this time. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah, Emmanuel, the Christ. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.